We continue the shiur, Rabbeinu Zal, Sichah Yisharan, up to Seif Kuf Nun Gimel, paragraph 153. This deals with reference to Likutei Maran, Rabbeinu Zal Sefer, Likutei Maran Tanina, the second part, second volume, Teda, chapter Ayin Ches. Here, Rabbeinu Zal explains the story behind that Teda, behind that lesson that Rabbeinu Zal taught. In order to understand, let's first delve into Rabbeinu Zal's words. So let's first learn a piece of Likutei Maran tonight. Then we'll understand what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to in this paragraph in reference to that Teda. Rabbeinu Zal says in Likutei Maran that there are times when the Tzaddik Emes himself, which means the Tzaddik, who is the holiest individual in the world, and in most cases, practically all cases, the most learned Tzaddik, the greatest Lamdan in the world, yet there are times when he conducts himself in a manner that is very simple, the same as an ordinary layman. When he speaks simple words rather than very advanced, high, deep words of Teda, secrets of Teda, and when a person who observes closely will not see anything unusual from the Tzaddik Emes. You don't see him studying Teda at that moment, you don't see him doing something that's very sacred. There are such times when he becomes a ish poshut, simple person, like the layman. Now, to explain this, why, how come, Emmanuel says, Da means that I'm stating a fact. This is axiomatic. It is a fact dictated so in heaven. And as is known, Avanzal's Da means this is dictated so in the Elam HaAtzilus. This is direct from Elam HaAtzilus, the top level of heaven, the heaven that is above the throne of Hashem. This fact that the life that exists is the Teda. Eitz Chayim Hi, Ki Heim Chayena Ve'erich Yameinu. The person derives his lifeline, his breath of life, comes from the Teda. The origin and source of life is from the Teda. Without the Teda, there is no life. Without the Teda, a person cannot live. So since that is the lifeline, let us say that is the oxygen supply. If one cuts off the oxygen supply, then death, chas v'shalom, is imminent. In that case, then, the kasha is, how is it possible for a person to abstain from the study of Teda even for a moment? One moment should be enough to kill the person. How is it possible for any person to stop learning Teda at any given time? Now, it is also impossible for a person to learn Teda constantly. Because even the biggest Mamdan, the most learned Tzaddik, the greatest Tzaddik, the holiest person, as long as he is in his physical form, and he's compelled to perform certain physical acts, whether it's eating or sleeping or doing something physically, or he must stop the study of Teda for a period of time, whether it's long or short, but there must be times during the day, during the night, during his lifetime, when he must stop the study of Teda. In that case, how does this Tzaddik derive his life? How does he live during those moments when he's not studying Teda? At the same time, the kasha is also obvious. That's the Tzaddik Emes. That's the biggest Lamdan. That's the great sages who study Teda throughout the entire day and night, practically. Even they must stop. How do they live? How about those people who are simple, who don't spend all day long in the study of Teda? What gives them life? How do they continue to live if they are not studying Teda? And more so, how about those people who are very simple-minded, practically illiterate, who cannot study Torah,
even if they try.
They don't know how to learn. What keeps them alive? What sustains them? This is a big kasha, big question. Ben Azal brings up. Ben Azal answers again, duh. No. Axiomatically, the factual answer is that at that time, when a tzaddik stops, pauses for those moments, the study of Torah, he derives his life from what? From Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz means the Derech Eretz Yisrael, from that road, that path, that way that leads to Eretz Yisrael, that road that leads to Eretz Yisrael, that is the lifeline of the tzaddik at that time. So when he stops the study of Torah, he needs this life-giving oxygen. He gets it from this road to Eretz Yisrael. And hence, all those simple-minded people, or all those simpler people who do not study Torah all day, who spend a lot of time away from the study of Torah, or practically most of the time, or some of them all of the time, where do they get their life from? They get their life from this tzaddik, who's receiving this special life from the road to Eretz Yisrael. He transfers this life to them and sustains them. Which means, therefore, that the majority of the world, practically the whole world, receives their life from this one tzaddik who's drawing life from the road to Eretz Yisrael. All this sounds very mysterious. Ben Azal says, now we'll explain that, we'll bring it down to a level we can understand. Ben Azal says that what is meant by this road, this path to Eretz Yisrael? Before the Torah was given, the Torah was given in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now that means that there were generations prior to that, and the Torah was not handed down to the world. Since the Torah is the life of this world, the whole world itself, not just people, but heaven and earth cannot exist without the Torah. The Gemara brings a pasuk which says, "My brisi, if not for my Torah, shemayim ukeshmaros leisamdiyah, there cannot be the heavens and earth. The rules of heaven and earth existing would have to disintegrate. They would have to disappear. Heaven and earth and everything in it could not exist without the Torah itself that keeps them, that maintains them. So, Adam HaRishon was the first generation. Noach was the 10th. Avraham Avinu was the 20th. Yitzhak, Yaakov, Levi, Kehos, Amram, and Moshe Rabbeinu. So you have 26 generations till the Torah was given. 26 generations without Torah, how did these 26 generations exist? The answer is, the Gemara says that there are in chapter, capital Kuf Lamed Vov in Tehillim, there is Hallel HaGodol, we say it every Shabbos morning, Hedel Hashem Kitev Kili Eilam Chastoi, there's a list of Kili Eilam Chastoi, that chapter. And that chapter contains 26 lines, Ki li Eilam Chastoi. Li Eilam, the world, exists Chastoi through the Chesed, the kindness of Hashem. Why 26 lines, 26 times? This is how Hashem sustained the 26 generations, with His Chesed, with His kindness. What kind of a kindness is that called? Chesed Shel Chinam. A kindness that is free, it's unpaid for. Nobody paid for it. Nobody had to serve time for it. Hashem gave it of His own goodness. He gave this Chesed Shel Chinam to the world. He maintained the world with His kindness alone. There was no Torah given to the world yet. So the world existed for 26 generations with this Chesed Shel Chinam, which is an Eitzer, a treasure that Hashem has. Hashem possesses a treasure, treasury filled with Chesed Shel Chinam, this kindness. Hashem gave of this treasure to the world during those 26 generations. Once the Torah was given to the world, there was no need to have this Chesed Shel Chinam anymore, because now the world was maintained through the study of Torah. Now this treasury, special treasure in the treasury of Hashem, of kindness, Chesed Shel Chinam, free kindness, this is what the Tzaddik Emes draws upon when he is not studying Torah. He draws from this treasury of Chesed. Why? Because what then is that treasury for? That treasury is for the sake of the Tzaddik, who must perforce, by physical law, abstain from the study of Torah for a certain period of time, for minutes or whatever time it is during the day. At that time, Hashem has a special chesed, this treasure of kindness. Hashem does not keep that treasure for the shoyim, for evil people who refuse to study the Torah, don't believe in it naturally. That treasure is made for this great tzaddik, the holiest of tzaddikim. For him the treasure is made, and therefore this tzaddik derives his life from that treasure. Now what happened during those 26 generations? Let's go back to that for a moment. Then there was no Torah. There was, of course, Torah for certain individuals, but it was not given officially to the world. So the world itself, all its inhabitants, aside from those few select people, lived because of this Chesed Shel Chinam, this treasury. Those generations are called, they are called Derecheretz Kodmo LaTorah. Derecheretz is a saying that's derived from this. We said a special saying, a bitui, where we say Derecheretz also means respect. Before you learn Torah, first have respect. Respect for your elders, respect for the wiser people, respect for that which is holy, respect for that which is a place that is sacred. But in essence, it really means Derecheretz Kodmo LaTorah. Derecheretz means the way of the land, the civilized way that people lived. They lived civilly, Derecheretz. This came before the Torah was given to the world. They lived civilly. What maintained them? Civil life. They know they had to live without having a Torah. They had to live without crime, law and order, because otherwise there'd be chaos. Otherwise there'd be devastation. So there was this Derecheretz, this way of the land that existed before the Torah was given. But in truth, in essence, in fact, even then, we cannot really say that they lived without the zechus of Torah. Then too, what really maintained them in this Derecheretz was the Torah itself. But where was the Torah? The Torah was not given. How could they live? What did the Torah do for them if the Torah wasn't here? The answer is that the Torah was here in a very hidden form. The Torah was Ne'elam, who was an Oyer HaNe'elam, a hidden light that was completely hidden, it cannot be seen, yet it was there, and it kept the world going. Where was this Torah hidden? Here we come to an interesting point. To know the origin, to reveal certain aspects of the Torah itself, we know that how do you put the whole Torah in a capsule form? The Gemara says we're not allowed to say this because Kafirim, atheists, would get the wrong impression. They would get the wrong impression. We won't. So we could think this, we could say it and know this to be fact. We don't publicize this for others. But actually the Torah in a capsule form is all maintained, contained in the Aseres Hadibreis, the Ten Commandments, actually is the form that contains all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Now, it's simple to understand because we know that the Aseres Hadibreis are 613 letters, or 613 plus 7, 620 letters, and these each stand for one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Each one, of course, has in it a lot of depth. It has all the mitzvahs of the Rabbanan, commentaries, and so forth. But we can see where the whole Torah is found in these 613 letters, or in the Aseres Hadibreis. Plus the fact that the Gemara says, truthfully, actually, the Luchos, the two tablets which were given from heaven, had basically these Ten Commandments. But it wasn't just the words of the Ten Commandments. In between each commandment, you had a whole Torah carved out on this stone. All the 60 Gemaras, all the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Shulchan Aruch, and all the subsequent Sforim, thousands, millions of Sforim written, were all carved out on these two tablets. How could you fit all that on tablets? Tablets were the Malam and Amokam. They were above the concept of space, because Hashem wrote it. Hashem is not dictated to by space. Hashem rules over the laws of space, therefore Hashem could do it. So therefore we could see where the whole Torah is found in, is contained in, these Ten Commandments. They said it's a Dibbles. Now there is a direct relationship between the Aseres HaDibbles of Torah and the creation of the world. Because Hashem created the world Bereishis, with the Torah. The Torah is called Bereishis. So the world was created with the Torah as the blueprint for the world. There is a direct connection, relationship between the creation and the Torah, and the fact that just as there are 10 Dibbles, commandments, as the basis for the Torah, so too creation was contained in 10 statements. 10 statements by Hashem. 10 times it says, Vayomer Elokim, in the days of creation, and Hashem said, let there be light, let there be a sky. 10 times. That is 9 times, plus the word Bereishis, which also is called Maimar, a statement by Hashem. So we have 10 statements by Hashem. It's called the Asora Ma'amores. Ba'asora Ma'amores Nivra Ha'olam. You have that in the 5th Perek and Pirkei Avos. But these 10 statements by Hashem, 10 proclamations, these 10 are in relation to, they fit perfectly with, synchronized with the 10 Dibbles, the 10 commandments. So where was the Torah hidden during those 26 generations? In the Asura Ma'amores, the 10 statements by Hashem. So we say that there was Derech Eretz. It means there was Derech Eretz, civilized way of life. Life went along normally. Person went chopping wood, building, selling, drawing water from a well, planting fields. In this work, in this Derech Eretz, the way of ordinary public life, it was contained, hidden the Torah itself, which sustained the world. Now, the 10 Ma'amores, the 10 sayings by Hashem, this the Chazal say, Asher Kodesh brings, Tzadikim Ekvenim say, that what is the reason why the Torah itself starts with Bereishis? What is Torah? Torah means mitzvahs, commands of Hashem, perform mitzvahs. So why should Hashem start the Torah, which is made for the sake of mitzvahs, start with Bereishis, the story of creation? Why not start with a mitzvah? Command, keep the Shabbos. The first word of the Torah should be, observe the Shabbos, because that's the most important mitzvah. Or the first mitzvah of the Torah, get married and have children. Why start with Bereishis, Bara Elokim, Hashem created the world? Why is that starting? Why did the Torah start with that, which is not really a mitzvah? Answer is, because of the fact that Hashem started the Torah with that to show that who is the master and creator and owner of the world? Hashem. Hashem created the world. Hashem owns the world. Therefore, Hashem has the power and the legal right to give his world to whomever he wants. Whomever Hashem wants, he gives that world to. So this is the pasuk Koyach Ma'asav Higid Li'amai. Koyach Ma'asav, the power of Hashem's deeds, actions, Hashem told to the Jews in the first pasuk in the Torah. Koyach is 28. 28 letters of the first pasuk in the Torah. Why those 28 letters first? To teach us the Koyach Ma'asav, the power of Hashem who created the world, and therefore let the world know that Hashem owns the world, and Eretz Yisrael belongs to Hashem. whoever Hashem wants to give it to, He can give it to. No one, no nation or United Nations can object to the act of Hashem, who is the legal owner. So when Hashem said, I give Eretz Yisrael to the Jews, Eretz Yisrael, it's the land of the Jews, Hashem has a right to take it from the Goyim who are living there only because Hashem allowed them to live for that short period of time. Hashem lets them live on His property for a short time. It's mine. You now leave. I give it to whomever I want. That's the case of the Jews. So we have that first pasuk in the Torah to offset any claims by any kind of Arab countries or Russians or Rishoyim, any nation at all, who objects to the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. This statement proves that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jews because it was given to the Jews by the owner and creator of the land. This is why the Torah begins with Bereishis, these 10 Amoris. So since these 10 sayings of creation are actually also, they contain in them hiddenly the 10 commandments, the Torah, and these 10 sayings first were what maintained the world until the Torah was given. So therefore these 10 sayings are called the Derech Eretz, before the Torah had Derech Eretz, civilization, but also Derech Eretz. We see now, this is Derech Eretz, the way to Eretz Yisrael. How can a Jew get to Eretz Yisrael if the Goyim will rise up to stop him? This is the way. These 10 sayings by Hashem, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Be'emet Elokim Hashem created, this is the Derech to Eretz Yisrael, the way to Eretz Yisrael. This is what we said before. At that time there was this chesed shulchinam, the kindness of Hashem that was given free before the Torah was given. That's these same 10 sayings by Hashem which contain this chesed shulchinam, because this is the way, the derech eretz, which the world existed by kodma l'Torah, before the Torah was given. And it's this derech eretz, it's this chesed shulchinam, this road, path to Eretz Yisrael, that the Tzaddik Emes draws upon to maintain himself, to sustain himself with life when he does not study Torah. The same thing too, when Jews are in Golus, they're not in Eretz Yisrael. What are they doing in different countries? When a Jew comes to a strange land, he comes to America, or he comes to European countries, or he comes to even the Oriental countries, or African countries. Everywhere you go, you'll find Jews. When a Jew comes there, does he have a right to settle there? The answer is yes, because he is using that same Derech Eretz, Derech Eretz Yisrael. What is the Derech Eretz Yisrael? The fact that Koyach Ma'as of Higid Liyamai, the fact that Hashem created the world, Hashem gives it to whomever He wants. When the Jew settles there, he actually, where he settles, he makes this place sacred. He makes the place holy, he sanctifies it through his mitzvahs and the study of Torah. Once he does that, he's utilizing the study of Torah, utilizing the 10 sayings of Hashem, the power of creation, to make this place belong to the Jews. So a Jew actually conquers everywhere as he goes, he conquers that land, becomes the true owner because he now receives it from Hashem the Creator. Now this is what the Tzaddik Emes draws upon, and that's why the Tzaddik Emes is forced. He is forced. Why not allow a Tzaddik to live a life of pure spiritual life alone, without anything physical? It's necessary to have the Tzaddik Emes drop from the spiritual temporarily to go into the physical, so that he could live with this Chesed Shulchinam, to draw upon this special treasure of kindness, not so much for himself, but to be able to take this and to feed, to nourish those who do not study Torah, those who need life, to keep them alive. He is the only one that can do it. This too is Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'eschanan el Hashem ba'eisahi lemer." I davened to Hashem at that time as follows: "Please, Hashem, allow me to go to Israel." V'eschanan el Hashem. Eschanan means I pleaded, chen for kindness. I pleaded, Hashem, give me that kindness that you have, Chesed Shelchinu. Where does that kindness come from? Ba'eisahi lemer. That time, what time? That time, way back, the beginning of time, lemer, saying, those sayings of Hashem, the 10 sayings of Hashem, those 10 sayings, which comes forth, the Chesed Shochinam, which is the Derech Eretz, the path to Eretz Yisrael, this, Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with Hashem, give me that path to Eretz Yisrael, allow me to get there. That's the true interpretation of that sentence. Again, this we see, the Tzaddik Emes asking for what rightfully is his. The Tzaddik Emes draws upon this treasury of kindness by Hashem. With this kindness of Hashem, he maintains himself, and he also gives of this chesed to the whole world who needs it because they're not studying Torah. He keeps them alive. What is the point of all of this? The Benazal says, now we get to the point. Keeping all this in mind, the point now is that everybody, we, people like us, simple people, better than us, simpler than we are, we know our shortcomings. Let's be honest, we have to learn Torah 24 hours a day in order to live. At least if we must perform certain physical acts, so it should be moments, less than 24 hours. In all honesty, we don't learn even half of 24 hours. We don't. Many of us don't learn even a tenth of 24 hours a day. Now, how can we afford to learn so little? What can we justify ourselves with? How can we say we deserve life if we're cutting off our lifeline? With what can we live? And yet, the fact is that we don't. Knowing this, we still do not study Torah. Some more and some less. There are some chosen few who sit in the kollel and learn many hours a day. And even they too will have to admit that there are hours that they don't, many hours. But the vast majority of people do not study Torah, or they do study to a very tiny extent. What's much worse is that not only do they not study Torah, but even the Torah that exists, the Torah that they know, they actually oppose. They actually transgress. They break the laws that are written in that Torah. Not studying Torah, committing sins against the mitzvahs of the Torah, this is very frightening. With what can a person maintain himself? How could a person avoid from just giving up hope, going to the extent where he becomes so depressed that life is not worth living, chas v'shalom? With what can a person strengthen himself and add a degree of simcha to his life, despite the fact that things are so bleak? This is the point that Ben Azal brings up. Ben Azal says it is forbidden for a person to ever give up hope. A person can say, I can't learn, I don't learn, there's no hope for me, there's no life for me, finished. Ben Azal says, no such thing as giving up hope. No person should chas v'shalom give up hope. No person should make yivsh. Yivsh means the giving up of all hope. Because even the simplest person should know that there is a simple key. You want life, the life that comes from the Torah itself, you can have it. It's right there for the asking, for the taking. The Tzaddik Emes has this treasury of chesed, shelchinam, this kindness of Hashem, which can sustain a person. Take it from the Tzaddik Emes. How fortunate is that person who knows of this and can sustain himself, can strengthen himself, can satisfy himself, can be filled with the simcha and chaskas, knowing that being close to the tzaddik emes, he can always draw life from the tzaddik. But of course, the main thing is that even that person who is so far, has descended so far into the abysmal depths of sin, crime, doubt, despair, no matter how far down he has gone, to the lowest level of Gehenna in his lifetime, that person too can strengthen himself and know that there is hope. There's absolutely hope for himself as well as for the greatest person on earth, because the Tzaddik Emes gives of this chesed, this kindness, to every person, to the most simple person that exists. What then? One problem. Person must go out and seek. He must daven to Hashem. The lowest person must fill his tefillos with power, with tears, with pleading to Hashem, Hashem, bring me close to you, bring me close to the Tzaddik Emes. Allow me to find the Tzaddik Emes, to believe in him, and to hold on to him. Yes. He is my lifeline. No matter how low down I descend, he is the lifeline, the one thing that can keep me alive here and in the future world. Benedel says that Ashrei to that person who is close to the Tzaddik Emes during his lifetime. This is a task that a person must do while he's alive. Because after a person dies, he'll need the Tzaddik Emes there especially. But then it's very, very difficult, if at all possible, to get close to the Tzaddik Emes. Time to get close to the Tzaddik Emes is during a person's lifetime, and therefore he should strive for this with every ounce of effort he's got. Is it easy? No. Because there is one enemy. There is the Satan, whose whole dedication is to confuse people. How does he confuse them? He sets up a lot of puppets, a lot of imitations. They are called Mefursamim Shel Sheker, false leaders who are called great tzaddikim, rabbis, rebbes, Hasidic leaders, and so forth. And all these false Mefursamim Shel Sheker mislead. They draw away people from the tzaddik emes, draw them to themselves, and people follow like blind sheep. The so-called leader, they are misled until they forget about the real goal, finding the Tzaddik Emes. So this is one item that the Satan works on so hard. Secondly, the Satan too creates friction among Tzaddikim, that you find Tzaddikim themselves argue among themselves. One belittles the other, so it's difficult to tell which one is telling the truth. This one says this tzaddik is not a tzaddik, this one is not a tzaddik. And so a person becomes so confused, he cannot detect the truth. For this, the solution is only to cry out to Hashem, despite this, Hashem, lead me on the right path that I can find the true light. The true light, the Eid HaOidus of the Tzaddik Emes. This should be a person's goal. In that kind of tefillah, a person does that with sincerity, he shows Hashem that he really wants, he has his whole heart in it, that person will be zecher, ultimately, to find the Tzaddik Emes. But he has to have that deep rotzon, a deep sincerity, a deep desire. This is the Teda in the Kutei Maran. The Masech Zal here, Sichas Sanan, explains, tells the story behind this lesson. This Teda was told on Shabbos Nachamu, Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, just a few months before Rabbeinu Zal's Astalkus. At that time, Rabbeinu Zal had moved to his last home in Oman. This was a special home with a garden in front of it. He had windows overlooking this garden, and this was at a time, as is known, Rabbeinu Zal was very ill. He suffered a lung disease for close to 3 years. His health had deteriorated to a point where it was difficult for him to breathe.
So he needed this fresh air from this garden, a special location. And the Vedanta said he looked forward to this home. He looked forward to what these windows look out upon. One time he said, what a beautiful garden. And the Tamidim said, yes, it is very nice. He said, I don't mean this garden. I mean the garden further ahead, the cemetery there, which are planted all the neshamis, all the kedushim, the many thousands of Jews who were killed for the sake of their religion, who are buried in Uman. That's why I want to be buried here, Bedafka, especially in Uman. On this Shabbos, that Friday night, Shabbos Nachamu, Abinazar came out of his private room into the large room where all the his followers, Tamidim, and local residents would come to see the Abinazar at the time of Kiddush. It was customary to come to the Abinazar for Kiddush on Friday night. Abinazar came out of that room, he made Kiddush, and after Kiddush, instead of going back to his private quarters, he sat down at the table there in front of all the people because he was so weak physically and so tired, he had to sit down to rest. And while sitting there, he began to speak. And he said to the people, why do you come to me? Why do you travel so far to come to see me? What can you get from me? I am a very simple person, a simple layman. Yiddish is the word prostak. Prostak means the simplest literate person, very simple layman. I am an ish poshut mi'id, very, very simple. Abinazar repeated this again and again. It's difficult to understand. Abinazar would say, I am that simple. Why did he repeat this? And then he said, the only thing that keeps me alive, I sustain myself with, is my trip to Eretz Yisrael. My trip to Eretz Yisrael is what keeps me alive. All mysterious words. But if we look at what that whole title was, we can understand the meaning behind it. At this time, at this moment, Abinazar started to enter into this topic more. And then he became very filled with simcha, and he said this whole Teda Ayin Ches, the one we just spoke about. There he explained the whole topic about the Tzadik Emes becoming simple, and through the fact that he is an Ish Poshut, he draws upon his Chesed Shochinam from this path to Eretz Yisrael, with which he then gives life to everyone. It was during this talk that Abinazar cried out this immortal cry that remained eternally the key and motto of Abinazar's followers. Something that keeps us alive this very day. Abinazar cried out with all his might, with all his power at that time, all the strength he put into these words. And he said, Gewalt seit euch nicht mehr jayish. Ein shum yish ba'olam klal. Screamed out, do not give up hope. There is no such thing as giving up hope at all, ever. No matter where a person may be, no matter how low a person may be, a Jew is not allowed to give up hope. With such a cry coming from Abinazar, meaning that I am here, you can rest, rely on me, I will support you, with such an assurance, how could any Jew who has the proper emunah ever again worry, ever again have a fear, ever again have a problem or a doubt in his mind, no matter what happens to him? If chas v'shalom a Jew commits the worst sin, he could fall way down, very lowest, the abyss, deepest point, the nadir. Bottom point, and yet he has that simcha. I fell so far. Look, there's a rope around my waist, and no matter how far down I am, the tzaddik emes is still holding on to me. He'll pull me up. That simcha alone can bring a person right back up to the top. 1 second of tshuva, he finds himself at the top, the head, because of the fact that he is attached through the Samuna to the Tzaddik Emes, knowing that there is no Yiyush. A person who does not have this Iskashus, if he does something wrong, immediately he falls into despair and a depressed state of mind, and he gives up hope. So one who is zecher to this kind of emunah, there's no Yiyush b'olam klal. A Jew is not allowed to ever dare to give up hope, no matter what happened. This was one of the most important lessons ever yet. As we said, this remained a Breslov motto, the motto of Rabbeinu Zal, which Rabbeinu Zal is most famous. Ein shum yiyush b'olam klal. Klal means absolutely at all. There is no yiyush, no giving up hope ever. Rabbeinu Zal said this with a strong tone of voice, and he filled his talmidim then with such a gratification, a satisfaction and happiness that this remained on. It was bequeathed. People inherited it afterwards from one generation to the next. To this day, till Mashiach comes, we live with that motto, knowing that the Rabbeinu Zal's assurance continues to maintain us. And of course, the Yeshua of Hashem, or the Yeshua was, that when Rabbeinu Zal said, I know nothing, I'm Ish Poshut, those words came forth, this tremendous Taita, this whole lesson that he said, and these words of assurance. At that time, Rabbeinu Zal was so filled with Simcha, the Simcha of knowing that he's fusing life into the world, into future generations, that he sang Azameh Bishvochen. That's the Zmidas of Friday night. He sang these Zmidas before he went to wash for the meal. Rabbeinu Zal's custom was always to wash Hamaitzi first and then sing his Amar Mishvach. At that time, he sang his Amar Mishvach first before washing. It was very special. For that reason, there are many who have adopted that custom throughout. From then on, to sing his Amar Mishvach those Midas before going to wash, or meaning even before Kiddush. Before making Kiddush, before going to wash, they first sing that Midas. There are different customs in that. Of course, it doesn't matter, it's not that important which one you take. They're all good. Just that it's good to know the background, that when you see those who sing it before Kiddush or before washing, there is a reason. This would be the origin for it. Now, Rabbeinu Zal said then, he stressed that the arriving at his great height, his great madrega, was only through Prostak. The fact that he considered himself a very simple person, he didn't delve into the depths, secrets to serve Hashem through secretive measures and through higher levels. Prostak means simple. He davened like a regular person, with all his heart, the simplest person. He learned like the simplest person. He cried out to Hashem. He said, Tillam, like the simplest person. And this is what made him arrive at his Haman Degen. Because those who are Chacham and Be'enehim, they consider themselves too great for these simple acts, those people are the ones who lose out tremendously. They cannot really arrive at a Haman Degen. Rabbeinu Zal said that he spoke to other tzaddikim, also testified to the fact that their madrega was due to the fact they served Hashem like little children. Children of Hashem, we don't know, we have no special chokhmah, no special wisdom. We serve Hashem in purity, in simplicity, and in sincerity. Rabbeinu Zal said too, that if he would have known how a high madrega he could reach, that it's possible to get to such a high madrega, the wonder, the marvel of being so high, this possibility exists, he would have served Hashem. In one day, he would have done all the Aveda that he did during a whole year. That's how he would have strived, put more effort into it. How can you put more effort than Rabbeinu Zal put? Which person could ever serve Hashem more than Rabbeinu Zal did? And yet Rabbeinu Zal said, I would have forced myself. I would have gone still further, so many hundreds of times more. I would have made in one day what I did in a year's time, knowing what a person, what a human being can reach. This is also a statement by a very simple statement to stress the part of pshitus. We should be zechet to be such pshutim, simple, people, serving Hashem, and with that simple, pure, truly pure emuna in the Tzaddik Emes, in that Bein Hazal who is the Tzaddik Emes. Be close to the Bein Hazal and draw our lifeline from there, which means Chayim Nitzchiyim, life here, life in Olam Haba, life forever. That's Chus we will live to see, becoming a Mashiach Zidkenu, Binyan Beis HaMikdash Shem Heda, Amen, V'Amen.